all of the emails. It's very important to delete the emails.
Good. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD's continuing preseason coverage. Tonight, our Under the Radar preseason podcast is one of our favorite podcasts that we do every year, where we go through all of the non-major conferences, 22 conferences in all this evening. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined, first of all, by John Tytel. Happy to have him back again. He's been out somewhere. Well, I guess we'll find that out as the course of the night. Also, John Stalica with us and David Griggs back as well. For those of you that are not familiar with what we mean by an under-the-radar conference, David, I'd like to start with you. Just can you describe for us what we mean by under-the-radar?
Yes. Under-the-radar, it is basically the 22 non-regular multi-bid leagues. Like, there's 10 multi-bid leagues. Those are the five power conferences, ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, and Big 12. And we also have five additional leagues that, while not Power 5, are regular multi-bid leagues. That's the Atlantic 10. The West Coast this year getting a little bit promoted. We were, you know, not – they're no longer under the radar. The Big East, of course, who certainly not under the radar with last year's national champion coming out of there. The Mountain West, who might be downgraded to under the radar if they have another year where they only get one team in and it's a 14 seed. But still, that's sort of an anomaly. That's still a league that sends multiple teams to the tournament, and I'm missing one. It doesn't matter. This is under the radar.
Those you got the American. Teams. You got the Atlantic 10.
Yeah. Okay. The American was the one I missed. So, okay. Yeah. Not those leagues.
Okay. And like we said, we've in the past, the West Coast Conference has been in this podcast. Gonzaga, BYU, both national brands, St. Mary's starting out the season as well in the top 25 in all the polls. We are not going to be discussing them. We're actually going to give them their own little mini podcast here coming up in a few days. But I'd like to go through each of these conferences here in alphabetical order. And we're going to start with the America East. Why not? John T., let me start with you here. What are you looking for in the America East this year?
I'm looking for Stony Brook to not win it. They got there last year, but they have a new coach in Jeff Bowles. They lost a lot of talent. The schedule is certainly manageable. Maryland's going to be tough, but I think I might pick them to beat BC, although who doesn't pick people to beat BC these days? I do not think they're getting back, so I think we're going to have to find some new blood.
All right, well, if we're looking for some new blood, John S., let me bring you in here. Who are you looking at as a potential new blood here? Is there somebody that's not named Stony Brook?
You have to look up to northern New England in this case, and that's probably going to be between Vermont and New Hampshire. We know the rivals in Hockey East, but we may actually see a decent basketball rivalry for a change this year.
Oh, I thought you could go all the way up to Maine there for a second with this with a crazy pick, but you disappointed me a bit.
That would be a crazy pick. That would be an insane pick.
Yeah, and David, fact about the state of New Hampshire: the last team out of the state of New Hampshire to make the NCAA tournament was Dartmouth back in 1959.
Yeah,
no state has a longer streak than that, other than the two states that have never put a team in, being Maine and Alaska. So this could be the year for the state of New Hampshire, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, for the first time in the color television era, the state of New Hampshire could get a team into the NCAA tournament. I'm excited. I really like this New Hampshire team. I think it's a good story in and of itself, just because the drought has been that long, and they typically haven't even been competitive in this league, but the last couple years, they have been. I know you think they're going to win the league. I don't know if I'm going to pick them to finish first quite yet, but they're definitely good enough to do that, and they're going to be a fun team to watch this year. It's a good story.
Well, I do want to get everybody's picks for each of these leagues. So, David, if you're not going to go with New Hampshire, where are you going with? Are you going Vermont?
Vermont, and I know that's a chalk pick, but I do like this Vermont team.
John, let me go back to you, John T. Who is your pick then?
I will second the motion and go with Vermont, mostly because Trey Bell Haynes wears the number 2, and the reason he does so is because it's the number 5 upside down.
Okay.
That is insightful.
One other team I think is bears mentioning at least is Albany. Yeah, they lost a ton off of last year's team. Evan Singletary, Peter Hooley, Ray Sanders, all gone. I've just been so impressed with what Will Brown has done there as a head coach. I would not be surprised to see them contending, even though they may not have the guns that they had last year. But I am on the New Hampshire bandwagon. And Stalika, were you in New Hampshire or were you Vermont? Did you give us a final call there?
I'm going to go with Vermont for this year.
All right, so I've been outvoted here, and Vermont is the seems to be the majority pick here, at least among the Hoops HD crew out of the America East. But let's keep going right on here to the next conference. So I know we've got a lot to get through tonight, so I'm not trying to give any of these conferences any short noise. But the Atlantic Sun Conference, and David, let me start with you on this conference. What are you looking for out of the A-Sun this year?
I like two of these teams a lot, and I don't really like much else. I think it's a two-horse race between North Florida and Gulf Coast. I know that we saw an exciting finish last year. Was it in the conference tournament? But was it Stetson? No. Yeah,
what happened last year was Stetson, yeah, who was, I believe, the number seven seed going in, ineligible due to the APR, but was allowed to play in the conference tournament, made an incredible run, pulled off back-to-back upsets to make the conference tournament finals, and then took Gulf Coast to overtime before they finally lost. It was one of the more amazing conference tournament runs. And we had actually had a lot of amazing conference tournament runs, right, among these conferences last year.
And it was a bizarre story because they had eliminated, I believe it was North Florida.
Yes.
And so North Florida is there rooting for Stetson, because if Stetson wins, North Florida gets in anyway, and Gulf Coast ended up getting it done. I like both of these teams. I like North Florida a little more. Matt Driscoll, I'm a little surprised he's still there. I'm glad he is, but when is somebody going to get tuned in? This is a guy with a good pedigree. He's done very well at North Florida. They were basically a transitional program when he took them over. And before that, he was instrumental, albeit as an assistant, landing some of the recruits at Baylor that turned them around. I'm a little surprised that no one's kind of picked up on him yet.
I believe it was Gulf Coast that took North Florida to the woodshed, because what Stetson did was, I believe, they beat NJIT and then Lipscomb both on the road.
I believe I stand corrected on that. And speaking of NJIT and Stalika, let me go to you, because I see the T-shirt there. David did not mention them, but Damon Lynn, Tim Coleman, Rabu Kawuba are all back for this team. How about the Highlanders this year?
Yeah, Jim Mangles is no longer going to be the coach since he's moved on to Columbia. But I do believe they have, what's the guy, Kennedy, who's now going to be coaching this year. Yep. Their final season in the Fleischer Center, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, big new arena coming in there. So,
so John, is NJIT your pick here?
John, I'm gonna go with a close second for NJIT and go Gulf Coast for this year.
All right, we've had two votes for Gulf Coast. John T., let me turn it over to you here. Asa, we've had three teams mentioned. Got a surprise team for us, or is it going to be one of these three?
It'll be one of these three, but if you think I'm picking a team coached by Brian Kennedy who played at Princeton, you are dead wrong. As far as Florida versus Florida Gulf Coast, I think it's going to be close. The Ospreys are going to have the player of the year back-to-back in Dallas Moore and could have a three-time defending conference coach of the year in Driscoll. But I think FGCU returns a ton of talent, like Antravius Simmons and Christian Terrell and Marc-Eddie Nerelia. Each of them scored double digits against North Carolina in the tournament. Go Eagles.
I am going to go along with everybody else here. I am going to go with Gulf Coast. I'm going to just say keep an eye on that Stetson team. They did make that run. They got hot real late in the season last year. And their top seven scorers are all back this season from last year's team. I don't think they've got the size to compete with the other teams, but I would want to just caution you to keep an eye on them this year.
Well, once again, you all are wrong. It's going to be North Florida.
Let me stick with you, Tytel, here for a moment as we go on to the Big Sky Conference here as we head out west in one of our more fun conferences here, in which I happen to be the star player for one of our best teams. What do you like out here in the Big Sky?
So Weber State, the defending champ, they bring back Coach Randy Rahe, who's a three-time conference coach of the year. They have a lot of senior leadership in Jeremy Senglin, who was the conference tourney MVP last March. Rashad Gittins, who scored 12 points against my Arizona Wildcats back in the tournament in 2014. So I don't think they're a slam dunk to repeat, but they certainly have a lot of nice pieces in place.
Well, now they don't have Joel Ballenboy anymore, though, and he was a huge piece for them last year. You still think they can win without him?
They can. I mean, like, don't sleep on Eastern Washington. They bring back Bogdan Blizniak, who was born in the Ukraine and was the Rookie of the Year in the conference a couple years ago. And Coach Jim Hayford, who has only been to one tourney, but they also have some senior leadership in Felix von Hoff and Julian Harrell. So anyone who has a transfer from Penn's got to be a good pick, right?
John Stalica, let me turn to you here. What about the team that my namesake here plays on, the Idaho Vandals, with brothers Nate and Chad Sherwood leading the way?
Yeah, I believe a pair of Oregonians, if I'm not mistaken. And we actually got to take a brief peek at Idaho's scrimmage before one of our podcasts earlier this night.
That we had to do over. Yep. Due to technical difficulties.
I could see Idaho probably finishing second or third in this conference, but then again, with the conference tournament in Reno, anything is possible.
This conference ruined its tournament. I don't like them anymore. I think they should lose their automatic bid.
Well, David, who do you like in this conference?
Weber. Despite the loss, I still really like them. But I like this Idaho team. They had one of their best seasons in recent memory last year. They have a lot of pieces back. They're going to be fun to watch. I mean, again, it's been forever since they've been relevant, even by Big Sky standards. But I kind of like them this year. It's going to be good luck to them.
I agree that Weber is the pick here. I do kind of like this Idaho team a bit. Also going to throw out there North Dakota as a team to keep an eye on this year. For the first time in a long time, they actually start the season with a team nickname, the Fighting Hawks. So that alone's got to score a few points, right?
I wish they would have gone with the Rough Riders, though.
I kind of like the Nodaks, but that didn't happen either.
I like the Griggses. That was my pick.
Stalica, let me turn to you now as we head to the Big South. This is a conference that David talked about, the Big Sky ruining its conference tournament. The Big South this year has fixed its conference tournament, as the top seed will host the quarterfinals and the semifinals. The highest remaining seed will host the championship game. Got to give some merit out there. Got to give some thanks to the Big Sky the Big South for doing it the right way.
Yes.
What do you like in this league this year, and who is your favorite to host those games?
Well, we say goodbye to Coastal Carolina, but we also have Winthrop, who's been probably the most consistent team outside of Coastal for the past 2 to 3 years. But much like Wright State, it seems like the Fighting Kelseys have been a bridesmaid, but not a bride, although I think this is the year they're going to be able to change that.
Yeah, they get it at home this year. They don't have to go win a road game despite being the better seeded team. I like Winthrop as well. And there isn't much else I do like. And I think Winthrop's clearly better than everybody else.
Well, Tytel, Winthrop lost a guy, Jimmy Gavin, who scored 18.7 points a game last year. Are you going to join these two on the Winthrop bandwagon?
I want to. I mean, they got Keon Johnson and Xavier Cooks, who, I mean, when you look nationally, it's hard to find a better pair of 1-2 scorers. They could each average over 20 points a game, and they are going to get tested in non-conference play, Florida State, Illinois, and Dayton. Pat Kelsey in his fourth year there on the sideline, he was an assistant to Chris Mack, an assistant to Skip Prosser, an assistant to Dino Gaudio, a decent little coaching tree and blueprint there. So, a solid pick. I don't think Astral is going to repeat. I think that they were a great story last year. I just don't see enough pieces there. And their senior leader has missed most of the past 2 years with knee injuries, Will Weeks. I certainly hope he's healthy, but that's asking a lot.
I actually like Macy Oteague, a freshman coming into Asheville there. But Liberty is a team that I kind of look at as possible second-place team here, four starters returning for the team, if nothing else. But I'm going to move over to the Big West, and I'm going to stick with you, Tytel, for a moment. This is a conference that I think there's a chance could have some at-large bid discussions for its champion, just based on the schedule they're going to play. But let me ask you who you think is going to win this conference.
I don't think it's going to be Long Beach State.
You don't think it's going to be Long Beach? Okay.
I don't. I mean, I know that they had a great season, and they always schedule well, and like, they've got a nice track record. I think next year is their year. They have a lot of junior leadership. I like Dan Monson as a coach, and they have an amazing non-conference schedule yet again. I just think that they're a year away because they have a lot of juniors, but not a lot of seniors.
So who do you like if it's not Long Beach? Are you going Santa Barbara? Are you going Irvine, somewhere else?
I think I got to go somewhere else. There's okay. not a ton of talent, so maybe it's just a by default. If I want to go off way down the board, I'm going to go with Cal State Northridge and Coach Reggie Theus. He's had a couple of years now to get the program where it's at. They're very guard-heavy, not a lot of size. I think that each of their top five scorers are guards, but I think that there's enough of them around, and I think Theus has enough of a pedigree and a tough non-conference schedule they have as well. They're playing a lot of good teams out west, like UCLA and Stanford, Texas A&M. I think they might be able to pull the surprise this year.
Yeah, and I actually do kind of agree with you. I think that they are bringing in a 6'11 kid from Dylan Johns from Texas A&M, a transfer this year. That should help with those size issues that you just mentioned. I'm not certain that I'm confident in Reggie Theus's ability to coach in the college ranks, given how disappointing he's been. But David, you seem very surprised that he did not go Long Beach.
I really like this Long Beach team. Now, to be fair, I've liked them a lot the last two or three years, and they seem to kind of do what I kind of picked on Creighton and Coach McDermott's history, where they're really good at the first half of conference play, but in the latter part when they're playing everybody a second time, they'll drop two or three games that you don't expect them to drop. They haven't really broken through into the NCAA tournament since, I think it was 2013. Was that the last time they were there?
It's been a few years, yeah.
Yeah. But I like them this year. And, you know, there's teams that go to the bakery and buy all kinds of cupcakes for their out-of-conference teams. And then Long Beach, who does the complete and total opposite of that?
Well, John T., you're a schedule guru. Do you have Long Beach schedule right in front of you by any chance?
You're implying I don't.
Of course, sorry. I do. Go ahead.
Shockers, Tar Heels, Louisville, Bruins, Washington, Kansas, Texas, Oregon State. I think that it's not all of them. I think it's that they're in some tourneys with them. But even if they play half of those teams, that's probably better than the rest of the conference's non-conference schedule combined.
Yeah. By the time 1 week of the season is over, they're going to have played at Wichita, at North Carolina, and at Louisville. That's just insane. I mean, it's – but Stalika, let me turn to you now. Do you have a pick here on the Big West, or you're about to be a tiebreaker between these two, between the Long Beach and Northridge argument?
I'm also going to be keeping an eye on Irvine because they've also been one of the more consistent programs. Also keep an eye on Hawaii, not to win the league, but since they have gotten a temporary reprieve from the infractions committee as far as probation, so there's still a chance they could be playing in the Big West tournament this year, I guess.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that.
That was news that came down this week. The NCAA, their appeal of their Hawaii's sanctions was granted. They've been granted a rehearing, so as of the moment, they are possibly eligible. If that rehearing happens before the end of the season and they lose again, they could be back out ineligible. But at the moment, Hawaii has a chance at least to participate in the Big West tournament. I don't even know that Hawaii is going to qualify for it by finishing in the top eight. That's how much they lost after last year, though. Sleek, let me stick with you and as we turned over to the Colonial Athletic Association. This is a conference that we were speaking about up until late in the season last year as being a potential at-large bid candidate coming out of this conference. Are we going to be looking at something like that again this year in the Colonial?
Well, last year it came down to Wilmington and Hofstra as the top two, and William and Mary was another one of the sentimental picks that people were looking at, but also keep an eye on College of Charleston because this is another program that's on the up and up and will actually be playing host to the conference tournament this year in Charleston.
Yeah, David, the conference tournament does move from Baltimore down to Charleston this year. Earl Grant has done a great job rebuilding this Charleston team. That was just a mess when he took over.
Yeah, he really has. They're a good story. I don't like them to contend for the league title. I just think this Wilmington team is really good. Good to the point to where I think they're going to be close to the bubble, maybe even right on it or inside it, similar to where Hofstra was last year. I like this Wilmington team a lot.
All right, so if Wilmington does what you say, loses, let's say, in the conference tournament finals, do you think they have a shot to be on the board there anyhow?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Tytel, do you agree with David that this Wilmington team is that good that they could be at-large bid worthy?
Not at-large, but I think they're, of the teams, of the conferences we've mentioned so far, I think they're one of the strongest favorites to repeat and make the tourney again. Hofstra, the one advantage they have is size with Rokas Gustas. He was in a big power forward from Lithuania. He had a double-double last year in a loss to the NIT champion GW Colonials. But Wilmington brings back so much talent like Chris Flemings and Denzel Ingram, a senior backcourt that is probably the best in the conference. And you cannot sleep on Coach Kevin Keats. He's been there 2 years. He's a two-time conference coach of the year. He worked for Rick Pitino. I think he can put them over the top. So I think Wilmington is going to be a big favorite.
Do you think Kevin Keats is there next year?
I don't know enough about his contract, but I could easily see him be – he should be pursued. He's a great coach, and I could see him leaving, I guess, possibly.
Okay. The other team we only briefly mentioned William & Mary. I do kind of like this team with Omar Pruitt back. He averaged about 18 points a game last year. I think that that'll be enough to keep this team competitive, but I think – I do agree that Wilmington is the team to beat in this conference. Tytel, let me stick with you as we turn over to Conference USA. And this is going to be a pretty interesting conference this year because I think that there's a nice collection of teams here that could all finish on top. Although I personally think UAB is a slight step ahead of everybody else. I don't know if you'd agree with me or not.
Maybe slight, but Middle Tennessee brings back Reggie Upshaw and Giddy Potts and Kermit Davis. A nice non-conference schedule with Ole Miss and Vanderbilt and VCU. As well as the aforementioned, as well as some other teams. I think Reggie Upshaw is going to go from conference tourney MVP to conference player of the year. Amazing guy. I was lucky enough to interview him last month. He does a little of everything. He almost single-handedly beat the Spartans last year in one of the greatest upsets in March Madness history. UAB is solid. I mean, they might be a slight favorite, but I always worry about teams with a new coach. I don't know too much about Robert Aeson, but I'd love to hear more about him.
Yeah, UAB, I do like them. Between Chris Coakley, Nick Norton, William Lee, Stalika, a team that I think could make some – another team that I think is going to make some noise here. As I said, there's a bunch of teams. The Rice Owls returning their top five starters, and they haven't been a factor in any sport since I remember, probably. But could this be the year for Rice?
I'd have to go back to the history books to figure out the last time Rice had made the tournament. Although the dark horse I'm looking for in this conference this year is actually going to be Rick Stanberry's first season at Western Kentucky.
Yeah, and that's a good point here. And David, Western Kentucky, Rick Stansbury coming in. I think that the quote I heard was that when you're recruiting a kid and Rick Stansbury shows up to recruit him also, you walk out because you lost.
Pretty much. Western Kentucky, I was a little surprised. When Ray Harper took over, he did win some conference tournaments, but this was a very, very successful Division II coach, and I'm a little surprised that Western Kentucky was not better under him. This is a program that really should be an NCAA tournament caliber program with the support they have, with the history they have. And they haven't been, but I think Stansbury gets them going. Maybe not this year, but soon.
Okay. Do you have a pick to win the Conference USA, David?
I'm going to go with UAB. They ran the table in the regular season last year. They dipped out coincidentally to Western Kentucky last year, but with for a team that didn't lose a single regular season conference game to have this much coming back, I like them.
Okay, and I agree with you. And Stalika, I know that. Tytel, you went with Middle Tennessee, I believe. Stalika, did you give me a pick?
Well, we had Skippy Walnuts as our favorite name last year. I can't say no to Giddy Potts in Middle Tennessee.
All right. David, over in the Horizon League, this is what it used to be one of our favorite formats of conference tournaments. Yes. I got to make a quick comment here on it. Starting last year, they got rid of the home courts and decided to go to a neutral court allegedly in Detroit, given that Detroit Mercy is in the conference, not quite neutral. They were still using the double bye system at least. This year they've even gotten rid of that and they're just going to a standard format. Even the top seeds have to play three games to win the conference tournament. They just gave up on the conference tournament there or what?
Yeah, they had it so right. They had it more right than any other conference, and then they got it wrong, and then they changed it to get it even more wrong. A building is half full. It really cost Valparaiso last year, who deservedly should have been playing at home, a chance to, you know, it cost them from having a better chance to win the conference tournament. They were good enough, I thought, to be – I thought that they were an at-large caliber team. Their paper wasn't there. It'll be the same issue again this year, although I really like this Valpo team. But, yeah, it's not a format that does as much as it should to help out your first-place team.
Well, Chad points out that you needed 3 games to win this year. None of the top 2 teams could win 1 game last year because both the finalists, Wright State and was it Milwaukee, both Green had Bay. To win 4 games, or Green Bay, sorry, had to win 4 games.
Yeah, John T., all that being said, I don't know that there's very many conferences out there with one team that I think is more favored than anybody else, and I think that's Valpo with this team. League, I think they should run away with it. I don't know if you agree with me or not, even without Bryce Drew.
I disagree. Okay. You do not run away from a Green Bay team that returns 4 stars from your NCAA tourney team and Link Garner, who now has a year under his belt but did it as a first-year coach. That being said, there are a few first-year coaches who are coming into a better position than Matt Lodich. He got to be an assistant last year to Bryce Drew. He's an amazing 3-point shooter. I don't know if that will translate to his players, but he's got Alec Peters, who will probably be the conference player of the year. Jabril Adekoya, who was the 6th man of the year in 2015, and Tavon Walker, who had 14 points against Maryland in a 3-point loss in the tourney back in 2015. I think that Lodich will have them contend and probably win, but I don't think they're going to blow Green Bay away by like 5 games in the standings or anything.
I don't know. I'm not that convinced that Green Bay, Carrington Love and Jordan Faust both with double-digit scores. Love scored over 17 points a game. I think that's a lot of offense for a Green Bay team that only made the tournament due to a run and a little bit of help in the conference tournament. Salika, let me go to you. Do you have a pick here in the horizon?
I wish I could say Northern Kentucky in their first year that they're going to be fully eligible, but unlike Grand Canyon, this program looks like they really do need a little more time to really transition up to Division I.
Yeah, I think Northern Kentucky is probably a year away. David, do you have a pick here?
Oh, Valpo. Another team, Wright State went out and got Scott Nagy, a very, very successful coach at South Dakota State. You wonder if that was even lateral of a move. But great hire for Wright State, but you kind of wonder, why would you leave South Dakota State to go to Wright State? But I do like this Valpo team more than anybody else.
Not only leave there, but what have you been there, about 20 years or something like that?
It was a little time. Bizarre. Like, so, I mean, it's year one, but it'll be interesting to see how he does it Wright State. He had South Dakota State on top of the Summit League and, you know, were one of the better teams, very successful there.
But I think we also asked the same question about, Driscoll over at North Florida? Because didn't he move from Fort Wayne a few years back?
Matt Driscoll was the associate head coach at Baylor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking about the guy at Jacksonville, whose name just slips my mind, though. But moving over to the – spoke about conference tournaments. Moving over to the Ivy League, which for the first time puts in a conference tournament this year. And John Tytel, being an Ivy League guy here, I have a little something for you. let me ask you, I know you don't want to say it, but is that the team to beat in the Ivy this year?
Yeah, I mean, they bring back a lot of talent. They have a ton of seniors and an experienced coach in Mitch Henderson. I can't in good conscience admit it, but yes.
Okay. Salika, is there somebody that's going to challenge Princeton at the top of the Ivy League that you're looking at?
Well, there's going to be Harvard getting Siani Chambers back, so that's going to be one look. I'm not so sure about Yale, given some of the talent that had either graduated or had left school last year under who knows what circumstances.
Yeah. David, one of the teams that I'm kind of looking at in the Ivy League is Cornell. They've got a new head coach there in Brian Earle, but almost every player back from last year, including Matt Morgan, Robert Hatter. Do you have somebody else that you think could challenge at the top here?
Not Cornell. Yeah, they have everybody back from a 3 conference win team.
That's okay. You only got to finish in 4th place to make the tournament.
Oh, well. So if they can more than double their win total from last year, maybe.
Princeton, Harvard, do you have a pick?
Princeton.
Princeton. Okay, that's kind of unanimous here that Princeton's going to win it.
I would also like to congratulate Columbia on winning the first postseason title in the Ivy last year. I think it was the first since the mid-70s for the league, but Jim Mangles is going to have a huge rebuilding year this season.
Yeah, Princeton in 1975 won the NIT. That's the only other postseason championship by a Ivy League school until Columbia last year.
I kept silent out of respect for John T.
Well, John T, yeah, let me give you one quick second here back to you. How about your Penn Quakers? Can they at least make the top four where they will get to host the Ivy League tournament at the Palestra?
Yes, because I think that I feel pretty confident that Brown, Cornell, and Dartmouth are going to be, if not worse, at least not much better than Penn. As far as the other four, I don't know if we can beat any of them out. We can't beat out Princeton or Harvard. I'm hoping Yale has a big fall off, which I don't think they will, but I fear we're going to be the fifth best team in the league.
All right. David, let me turn to you now as we move over to the Metro Atlantic. This was a conference that should have had two teams in last year after what Monmouth did.
I think so. To win that many games away from home and not be picked, and they were dinged for their sub-200 losses, and I get that, but I mean, of the sub-200 games that they lost, they were all on the road. Had they played those at home, I mean, I think if those games were at home, they win. And you kind of have to factor that in because one of the reasons, I mean, it's harder to avoid bad losses when you're forced to play bad teams on the road, which this conference mandates.
But I think it was also Jerry Palm that had pointed out last year there was only one team in NCAA history that was able to overcome three sub-200 RPI losses, and that was USC back in 2011, because they also had a lot more chances to get quality wins than Monmouth.
But David, this year Monmouth isn't going to have those chances. They're at South Carolina, at Syracuse, at North Carolina, and that's it. And I don't see them winning. Maybe the South Carolina game they could possibly pick up. I don't see them having the chances to pick up that type of resume. So the question is, can they make the tournament? Can they win the Metro Atlantic?
They certainly can. They're not my pick to do it. They're the favorites across the board. I really, really like this Siena team. I think they got four senior starters. I like them more than Monmouth. I realize that I'm kind of a minority in picking that, but I like Siena more than Monmouth this year. I think they're both good. It wouldn't shock me to find one or both of them right on the bubble come Selection Sunday in the discussion, but I think Siena wins the league.
Well, Tytel, I think the same problem with Siena that Monmouth has is that they don't know that they have the schedule to get an at-large bid this year. Trip to Kansas, other than that, the next toughest game might be Hofstra or UNC Asheville or George Washington. But do you agree with David on Siena, or are you a Monmouth? You're going to go somewhere else.
He's stealing my thunder. I really like Siena, and he pretty much said it. I mean, the four senior starters are great. I think Patsos is a good coach. It will not be easy. I don't think this is a two-bid league. I think it's a one-bid league. But you got Brett Bisping, who's already been a postseason tourney MVP in the 2014 CBI. He was the MVP. Vivian Ogunyeme is a conference defensive player of the year last year. Nico Clareth was the sixth man of the year last year. They bring back a lot of great pieces. I think Siena's going to do it.
John Stalica.
I think Monmouth wins the conference, but even though Iona's reloading this year, I would also keep an eye on guys like John Sevier and Sam Cassell Jr., who are each going to have 1 year of eligibility with Tim Kloos.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that Sevier is the talent that he was that first year, at least that when he was at Fordham. So I'm not quite on the Iona bandwagon with you. And I'm actually going to go with Griggs and Tytel. I'm going to go with Siena as well in this conference.
Wow.
I do like what they have, even better than Monmouth, although Monmouth will be fun to watch again as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Over to the Mid-American Conference, and John Tytel, let me start with you here, because I said this in my write-up about the conference earlier. I think we have a legitimate shot at a two-bid league here out of the MAC this year. That's how much I like four or five teams at the top here. As long as a couple of teams can somehow separate themselves, I think it's possible. You don't agree with me.
Who are those two? And then I'll let you know if I agree with you.
I like Ohio. I like Akron. I like Eastern Michigan as the top three. I would think Ohio and Eastern Michigan are the two teams that I'm looking at here as being both
like Akron.
Capable yeah. of making it. And Akron kind of the third team here because you've got to have a couple other teams in the league to boost you up if you want to get an at-large bid too, I think.
You certainly do. I like Eastern Michigan too. They have a lot of veteran leadership, a lot of juniors and seniors for Rob Murphy. I didn't hear any Buffalo love, and I know that Nate Oates is only in his second year and that they didn't do – I mean, they did okay last year. They only lost to Miami by 7 in the tourney. They bring back Blake Hamilton and Willie Connor, some senior leaders. Connor, the 2016 conference tourney MVP. Certainly not a dominant favorite to repeat, but I would kind of be surprised. I think that they might have a lot of 18, 19, 20-win teams, but I don't see, like, multiple 24-win teams or anything.
Okay. Stalika, what are your thoughts on the MAC then?
It's been 20 years since Earl Boykins had led Eastern Michigan to the tournament, and that was when they just started to call themselves the Eagles. I mean, they'll still have a shot this year, but it seems like we say it every year. Akron's probably going to be the favorite, but how many times have they really gotten into the NCAA tournament?
You're all going with Akron here. I mean, Ohio U in the East Division alone, I think I like Ohio better than Akron with Antonio Campbell, conference player of the year last year, Kenny Kaminsky, Jaron Simmons. I also like Ball State out West as a team to challenge Eastern Michigan. They've got 6 out of 7, the top 7 players back, and they won 21 games last year. David, though, your thoughts on it?
I like Ball State in the West. I don't think you're talking about in looking at Eastern Michigan and Ball State, as improved as they are, I don't think that they're anywhere near the bubble. That's on the east side, but I like Akron. I also like Ohio. I wouldn't be surprised if one or both of those schools even ended up on the bubble, maybe even in a 12-11 seed range.
I just hope it's not the same Ball State team that just had a pitiful performance against Miami that was at the flame out in the MAC tournament.
Let's move from the conference that at least I thought had a shot at an at-large bid to a conference that I can pretty much guarantee you will not have an at-large bid, the MEAC.
Yes.
And David, I want to start with you here because you and I were following the South Carolina State story for the last couple of years here where the university itself almost shut down entirely.
Yeah.
And heading into this season, at least for me, they're my pick to win the conference this year.
They're mine as well. You know, they were good last year. They've got 4 starters back. It is kind of a turnaround story. But, yeah, the state of South Carolina, I guess the Board of Regents was strongly considering closing the institution for 2 years and then maybe permanently. So nice that they're still around and nice that they're going to contend for a conference title this year, which I think they will. I think they'll win it.
John T., a team in your backyard there had the nation's leading scorer last year over in Howard. Are you going to – any chance you want to go with them or are you going to the South Carolina State as well?
I want to go with them, and mostly due to geographic bias because they are in the backyard, as they say. The schedule looks pretty tough. They play all the local teams like Georgetown and Maryland, head down to Richmond to play VCU. I think they also have Michigan and Marquette, so very battle-tested in the non-conference. Daniel can't do it all by himself. God knows he tries. I think he puts up more shots than anybody in the nation. They do have a little size in senior center Marcel Boyd. I just don't think there's enough help for Daniel. I mean, if he's going to try to score 35 a game, maybe, but I don't think there's enough. But I think they're going to make it very interesting.
Yeah, this should be fun to watch at least. Stalika, do you have a pick in the MEAC?
They definitely took a step closer last year, but I think this year might be the year that South Carolina State is able to win the MEAC.
Okay.
And I don't have an over and under on how many players are going to end up transferring to Xavier the following year, a.k.a. Malcolm Bernard and Rasheed Gaston.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of MEAC transfers on some major rosters this year. Kind of surprised me, but Tytel, let me go back to you as we move over to the Missouri Valley Conference. Do we finally have a conference in these under the radars that isn't multi-bid conferences here in the Missouri Valley, or are we down to a one-bid league after they barely got 2 last year?
I will set the over-under of bids for this league at 2. Count them, okay. 2. I think the Shockers are not a slam dunk because they lost the backcourt of all time in Van Vliet and Baker. But Greg Marshall has been there 10 years. He knows how to coach. He's got the defending conference rookie of the year in Marcus McDuffie. A loaded non-conference schedule. Tulsa, Louisville, Oklahoma, San Diego State. And he's got some size in junior center Shaquille Morris, who had 12 points in the loss to Miami in the tournament last spring. So the other question is, who's going to be that second team? Tell me, guys, who is it going to be?
Well, no David. No, no, you, David's no. Going with just Wichita State. Yeah. Sleeka, do you have a second team?
Well, we kind of slept on them last year for most of the season, but Northern Iowa, I mean, we'll have to keep an eye on them and see if this is going to be yet another supposed reloading year. Because I think we had also mentioned in a prior podcast, they're going to be in the Tire Pros, formerly the Puerto Rico tip-off. So they'll definitely have some chances, and they also have a possible second game against Xavier, the second of which would be at CentOS Center post-Thanksgiving.
I'm sorry to say that you are all wrong. Wichita State is not even going to win this conference.
I'm not wrong.
The winner of this conference joining Wichita State in the postseason is going to be a team led by Paris Lee, Mikhail McIntosh, Deontay Hawkins. I'm talking Illinois State.
Speaking of bridesmaids.
I am very high on this Redbirds team this year. I think they are the best team in the conference. Titel, is that who you were thinking of?
It was. And don't sleep on Coach Mueller. He's been there 5 years. He's a very smart guy, a two-time academic All-American. He's never made the NCAA tourney, but I think that he's got enough junior and senior leadership. And I've talked for the past half hour about all these teams that don't have size. He's got several forwards in Hawkins, McIntosh, and Yarbrough. He can play with the big boys.
Yeah. David, are you still just sticking on Wichita State?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you're wrong. I mean, I like Illinois State, but, like, you're wrong. And, I mean, I can't agree with you.
David, given that you're wrong about that conference, I'll give you a chance to be right about a conference as we move over to the Northeast. It's normally a 16 seed, if not in a play-in game or a first four game, always seems to be a fun conference to watch despite
that. I love this league. I like the rivalries in this league. I love the venues in this league. They're tiny, but they are just packed full of energy. It's kind of hard to get into the out-of-conference because so many teams are so overmatched in November and December. But come January, it's a fun league to watch, and they do their conference tournament right with campus sites.
You only have 8 slots in the conference tournament as opposed to the, 11 or 12 members they have.
They've got 10 members, actually, John, but yeah. I'll forgive you. But, David, did you have a pick in the Northeast?
Not going with the favorites. I know a lot of people like Fairleigh Dickinson this year. I'm actually going with Wagner.
Wow, and as am I.
I think that Fairleigh is going to actually repeat. They might be a year away. They are very small with a backcourt with several junior leaders. So I think next year they'll be even better. But they bring back enough, and I don't see anybody, even though Wagner's going to be okay, I don't see Wagner as much better than Fairleigh.
Right. I do agree it's going to be close between the two of them. Stalika, do you have a pick in the conference?
I might have thrown a dart and chose Sacred Heart, but unfortunately their best player transferred to Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken, and Kane Broom. But yeah. If I had to guess, I probably would go Fairleigh Dickinson again.
All right. Got a couple Fairleighs. Two Fairleighs, two Wagners. Let's move over to the Ohio Valley Conference. This is, along with the MAC, the only other conference that still uses divisional format. So we do have two divisions here. I'm going to start this one off myself because I haven't had a chance to start a conference yet myself. And my pick here actually is going to be Belmont to win this conference. I think that
way out on a limb there.
I know.
And the front of the line, they go first.
And the West Division. And the West Division. I'm going to Murray State. I mean, pretty much business as usual in the Ohio Valley Conference. Titel, do you agree with me or you want to go somewhere else?
Not only do I think Belmont's going to win, I think they're going to win big, like 4 or 5 games over everybody else big.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, Evan Brads is that good and way above I should be the best player in the conference easily, I think.
Belmont, if they run roughshod over this league, what do they have to do out of conference to get on the bubble or inside the bubble? Because while they've never gotten an automatic bid, Belmont has landed inside the bubble. They've been on the 11 line before, so it is possible.
Well, hopefully they're not doing what Murray State did 2 years ago and go to the bakery.
Right.
Well, as far as their non-conference schedule, they're at Vanderbilt, they play Florida, and they're at Rhode Island. Other than that, yeah, they're going to be enjoying that bakery with games like Milwaukee, Cleveland State, Middle Tennessee at home is actually a pretty good, decent chance to pick up a decent win there. At Pepperdine. Home and home with Lipscomb, which is an annual rivalry game.
Battle of the Boulevard.
Yep.
But Salika, do you have a pick in this conference?
I guess this seems to be part of their cycle, but I could see Murray State possibly winning this year.
All right. David, let me go over to you here as we move over to the Patriot League. We want to try to get a few more conferences in here as quickly as we can. Do you have a pick here in the Patriot?
I do. Who do I like? There's been so much parity in this league that it's actually kind of hard to know who to go with. I kind of like Bucknell. I liked them last year. I guess I'll go with them again.
I kind of think you got a four-way battle here. Bucknell, Lehigh, Boston U, and Holy Cross. I think all have a shot here. Salika, do you have a pick in this conference?
I don't think Holy Cross is going to pull off the same miracle that they did last year, considering they hadn't even won a single road game in conference until the tournament. But I think we have to, go back to Lehigh this year as a team that can probably win the Patriot.
Yeah, and we didn't mention, we discussed the Ohio Valley a minute ago. Austin Peay made an incredible run from the 7 seed to win that conference tournament.
Made an incredible run just to get into the conference tournament, then won the conference
And the same thing with what Holy Cross did in the Patriot League, winning 4 games on the road to win that conference tournament.
Right, yeah.
With what Austin Peay did, it was even better what Holy Cross did last year.
Yeah.
But Tytel, do you have a pick in the Patriot?
I want to pick BU, but I think they're a year away. As far as Lehigh... Yeah, I like them a lot. Tim Kempton could become a 3-time conference player of the year as a senior big man. Do not sleep on Holy Cross. They bring back a lot of seniors and everyone's favorite coach, Bill Carmody.
I agree with you pretty much 100% on exactly what everything you just said there. But let's move on to the Southern Conference. And
yeah.
John T., let me stick with you here because this is a conference where I would argue the team that I think is the best team here, if they get upset in their conference tournament, should get some serious at-large consideration.
And who is that team?
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, the Mocs.
They're solid. They bring back a ton of seniors. Coach Matt McCall only in his second year, but his first year was pretty good as he was conference coach of the year and got his team to the NCAA tourney. They will have some nice non-conference scheduling. I believe Tennessee, North Carolina, and Vandy. They got a lot of pieces in place, so I feel very good about them repeating.
And they've also got a former Xavier transfer in McKinney London this year. I don't know if he actually got the waiver to be eligible this year, but he did transfer to be, closer to some of his ailing relatives.
I think he got it. I'm pretty sure he did.
David, do you want to make the case for Chattanooga as a potential at-large team? Another player they have back is Casey Jones, who missed most of last year with injury.
Right, again, and he was their best player, I thought, last year, and they were without him for most of the year. They were good last year without him. They're going to be better this year with him. I agree with you. I think that they can be inside the bubble and get an at-large bid on Selection Sunday if, for whatever reason, they slip up in the conference tournament. East Tennessee State is kind of worth watching, but really, this conference is Chattanooga's to lose. They really should run roughshod over it.
Now, one game worth watching will be where Tennessee actually does make the road trip to East Tennessee this year.
Yeah.
Salika, let me stick with you here for a second. In the Southland Conference, over the last 3 years, Stephen F. Austin, including conference tournament, went 59-1 against Southland opponents. Not just good, unbelievably good. Is this the end of the run, though, for SFA with Brad Underwood gone on to Oklahoma State, Thomas Walkup graduated, or do they win this conference again?
if you go by the coaches and the media, it was kind of a split decision between Sam Houston and SFA, but Sam Houston actually won that poll by a single point, even though both teams got 6 first-place votes and the other one going to A&M Corpus Christi. But I don't see how SFA is going to be able to pull it off this time.
Yeah, John T., I actually think that SFA got those votes in the media poll just based on the history, not on what they've actually got this year. I like the Sam Houston State team, but where are you on the Southland?
I'll go with Sam Houston as well. I hate to pick against SFA just because they've been such a great story over the past several years with amazing players and coaches who have been doing amazing things both in March and beyond. I got to interview Coach Keller, and he's just – I was talking to him about the Texas A&M Northern Iowa game last year when he was an assistant to Billy Kennedy, and for 5 minutes he was just going on about this most amazing, crazy, insane win. So my heart says Stephen F., but Sam Houston brings back a lot of guys who are juniors and seniors. Coach Hooten's been there 7 years now, and they have a huge amount of size in Aurimas Madauskas from Lithuania.
Yeah, I think the most disappointing thing for me in the Southland actually has to do with Northwestern State, where Jalen West missed all of last season with injury, down again with another ACL tear, out for the season.
Yeah,
and he would have had a chance to pair with Zeke Woodley, who's a senior now, could have really done something. I don't think they're going to be a contender, though, this year. David, do you have a pick here in the Southland?
I'm going with, Sam Houston State as well. They just got too much coming back, and they haven't been bad the last few years. Two other teams to watch, Corpus Christi and Houston Baptist. Houston Baptist, tiny arena, ridiculous-looking uniforms at times. But, I mean, as a team that just recently completed the transition, they've done very well, and they've got a lot coming back. I don't think they're at the top of the league, but they're kind of fun to keep an eye on.
Well, here's a little fun fact for tonight. Even though Houston Baptist has done a transition, their last NCAA tournament appearance, 1984.
Yeah, they are returning to the NCAA D1 level. Corpus Christi, Rayshon Thomas is a great player. He's going to score a ton of points for them. He's the only starter that returns this year, though, and I don't know that he's got the players around him. I'd keep an eye on McNeese State if you want to look at somebody else to keep an eye on in the conference. But let's turn to one of our favorite conferences here, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, the SWAC.
That one.
That one. Where Mike Davis seems to get his Texas Southern team in there almost every year, or at least being up there. Southern actually got the bid last year. David, are you going to go with Mike Davis this year?
Yes.
Or go somewhere else?
No, Mike Davis, Texas Southern. Back in the they'll be playing in the first four again, I think.
Okay. Tytel.
I'm going to go a little deeper. I'm going to go with Alabama State to make their first appearance in probably forever. Decent non-conference schedule. Well, an average non-conference schedule of TCU and San Diego State. A lot of juniors and seniors, some size with Corvon Butler and Tony Armstrong. Coach Lewis Jackson has been there 12 years now. The thing I like about Tony Armstrong, his nickname is Big Tony.
Big Tony, there we go. Stalika, do you have a pick here?
Funny thing about the SWAC is they actually had, I think, their most road wins in non-conference play in at least 10 to 15 years. And one of the big reasons why would be, I believe it was Southern. So they were the most consistent team out of conference last year, and I think I'll go with them again.
All right. I'm actually going to go somewhere that none of you went. I'm going to go with Jackson State. This is a veteran team, a couple of key guards, Paris Collins and Chase Franklin returning to lead the way. I think that could be key in a conference like this. That's where I'm going with this league. I do think that there's a lot of teams here that could be bunched up. And just want to note a change in the conference tournament format here. They will be playing the quarterfinals at Campus Sites this year, the SWAC, before moving to Houston for the semifinals and the finals. So at least a slightly better, although, again, Texas Southern will have that advantage of the conference tournament in their backyard. Salika, over in the Summit League, what do you like?
Well, last year I would have liked South Dakota State, but this year we'll have to see if North Dakota State is able to reclaim the crown, or will it finally be Fort Wayne's turn to crash the NCAA tournament? Yeah. But I do like I do like the Mastodons to actually win it this year.
Mastodons.
Yeah, the Mastodons, they were 12-4 in conference last year. They bring in Brayson Scott from Purdue, a Titel. Are you on the IPFW bandwagon too?
I'm driving the South Dakota State bandwagon. And for those of you who have not heard about Mike Dom, the sophomore power forward, he's amazing. He won like every single award in the conference last year except Player of the Year. Which I'm easily correct. Sixth man of the year. I'm easily predicting him to do it this year. He had 16 points in their loss to Maryland. They only lost by 5 in the tourney. I'm going to go way out on a limb because they just have a first-year coach in T.J. Otzelberger. I think they're going to win this year. I think you're going to see Mike Dom like in the NBA in a few years. I know it's ridiculous, but I just think he's that good.
Chad, I got to ask, is Joe Scott still at Denver?
No, Joe Scott is no longer at Denver.
Joe Scott should have not been at Denver as long as he was.
He is gone. Chauncey Billups, I believe that's his brother, has taken over there at Denver this year. David, do you have a pick in the Summit?
I'm going with the Mastodons. I like South Dakota State a lot as well. John Titel brought up some good points, but I still like Fort Wayne. It's the Summit League, the Mountain League, Mountainous Fort Wayne.
I'm on the Fort Wayne also. I like North Dakota State also better than South Dakota State even, but I am on the Fort Wayne bandwagon too. Let's go to a conference, David, that we did discuss last year for an at-large bid as well, especially with the starts that Texas Arlington and Arkansas Little Rock got off to at the Sun Belt. Are we going to be discussing those two teams again this year?
Not for an at-large bid, I don't think. Arlington got off to such a great start and then kind of tapered off down the stretch, but I still like them a lot this year. Little Rock, I think they just lost too much. So I don't think Arlington's going to be anywhere close to the bubble, but I do think they're on top of the league when it comes back. Another thing is, how is Coastal going to do? This league's a lot better than the Big South. It's not great, but it's still tougher competition. Welcome to the Sun Belt, Coastal Carolina.
Yep, Coastal Carolina, the only team moving conferences this year, moving over from the Big South to the Sun Belt. Stalika, you got to pick Coastal Carolina and Cliff Ellis's squad, or are you going to go with David and Arlington or somewhere else?
It's not Wayne from the Wonder Years, but I do like Kevin Harvey and Texas Arlington to get to the dance this year.
Titel, nobody's mentioned Tukey Brown and Georgia Southern yet. Are you going to Arlington, or are you going to go somewhere else?
I will also not mention Tukey Brown. I want to go Louisiana Lafayette. I think they're a year away. I love Coach Marlin, and they have a ton of guards who are juniors. I think next year might be their breakout year. I love Arlington. Tons of experience, not as much size as I'd like. Coach Scott Cross has been there 10 years. A good non-conference schedule, Minnesota, Arkansas, Texas, a lot of our teams. I think Arlington's going to get up there.
I do like Arlington as well. That Georgia Southern team I mentioned, I like them second. I've got a potential dark horse team here in the South Alabama team. They were not very good. They've got a lot coming back, though. They could be a team that surprises this year. And another major change in conference tournament formats here, with Coastal Carolina joining, the Sun Belt is going to a full 12-team tournament, all to be still played in New Orleans, though, this year.
Side by side.
No, they will not be played simultaneous games. And they'll be using the standard format, so no buys and double buys, which they'd
no split screen as well.
No split screen. No split screen. David. One last David, conference.
I could have sworn I saw the same house guest that you had last time on the show.
One last conference to go. The WAC. We started the movement last year, the hashtag Lopes waiver. We came close, but they did not get that waiver granted. David, still not eligible. What's going on?
Well, it's just ridiculous. I mean, the president, we wrote President Obama. He ignored us. We called Mark Emmert on the show. He ignored us. Like, I figured that we could get President Obama and Mark Emmert both on the show together and we could get this worked out, but it just didn't happen.
How about cutting into this year? We know that Grandy Glaze is gone, but they've got a lot back, including and bringing in a USC transfer here in Darian Clark. Do you like the Lopes this year, at least absolutely, as a regular season champion?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that they'll definitely be in the hunt for it. They were last year. This is a good program that's showing all signs that when they finally are eligible, they're going to hit the ground running. I like them this year, but New Mexico State's pretty good as well.
Yeah, and Bakersfield finally proved that somebody else can win the WAC other than New Mexico State last year. Tytel, first question, who's going to win the regular season? And the second, if you do pick the Lopes, who's going to be your automatic bid winner?
I think the Lopes are going to win the regular season. I really don't like any team in this conference. Bakersfield won it last year, and they lost a ton. So I'm going to go way off the board with UMKC, of all people. They have a great senior backcourt in Martez Harrison and Lavelle Boyd. Kareem Richardson won a title as an assistant to Rick Pitino at Louisville. A lot of tough non-conference games, Kansas, West Virginia, Creighton. Just more like the lesser of eight evils. Just there's not a lot of meat on anyone's bone.
Kansas will play UMKC, but they won't play Missouri. Kansas play Missouri?
I do agree with you that the UMKC team at least is going to be fun to watch with Martez Harrison and Lavelle Boyd. I don't know that I agree with you that they're going to win the automatic bid. I am going with New Mexico State there, but Lopes to finish it first. Stalica, what are your thoughts on the WAC?
Well, the good news for UMKC is they're not going to have any Andre McGee distractions this year. But I think I've also heard a nice line from Chicago State's head coach is that everyone that's playing for first this year is going to be playing for second next year once Grand Canyon finally becomes eligible.
I think that's dead on. I think this team's going to be good for a lot of years until possibly they may get scooped up by another conference at some point. I would not be shocked to see it happen. Yeah. But on that note, I want to run through each of you for any other final thoughts about these under-the-radar conferences or anything else you expect to see this year as we head into the season. David, let me start with you.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of teams. I think there's four that are exceptionally good, meaning they're good enough to be on the bubble or inside of it. We'll just see if the paper's there. I really like Valpo. I really like Chattanooga. I really like UNC Wilmington, although I know you all weren't as big on them. So those are kind of teams to keep an eye on as far as landing in there. Oh, in Siena and, Monmouth. So those are – if we were doing a top 10, we're not doing it this week. That will be a regular part of the show once the regular season starts. Those would be my top five.
All right. Stalica.
Yeah, my eyes became just as big as the puppets when I – thought for a moment, oh, great, I didn't bring a top 10 list for under the radar. But I do think if there were going to be two conferences that are likely to produce multiple bids, I would say the Missouri Valley and the Metro Atlantic.
I don't agree with either of you about the Metro Atlantic being a double multi-bid league this year. Again, I'm more in the Mac. I'm on the Mac bandwagon, but the other Mac. I really like this Illinois State team a lot this year. I think this may be the best team that we discussed tonight. But Tytel, let me turn over to you here for any final thoughts.
My final thought is going to go over the radar. I just wanted to share some semi-breaking news. For those of you who like ACC basketball, NC State, one of their big recruits was the Turkish 7-footer Omar Yurtseven. Earlier today it was announced that he is suspended 9 games by the NCAA. So if you wanted to catch him, do it after Thanksgiving, not before.
Wow, that's actually some pretty big news there for NC State's at-large chances, which I was also already very suspect of heading into the season. On that note, for myself, Chad Sherwood, John Tytel, John Stalica, David Griggs, and the Princeton Tigers. I'm not really going to get it out. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks a lot.